Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi, welcome to today's podcast. On today's podcast, we have Roisin Levin, Head of UK and Ireland Partnerships at Wise. How are you doing, Roisin?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Now, before we start, tell us a bit about your background so we know who you are.
Sure. So I'm currently working at Wise. As mentioned, I look after our partnerships for UK and Europe for a portion of the business referred to as Wise Platform. And I've been in fintech for a number of years. So I think I first started out working in tech on the kind of partnership side at a company called Uswitch. It's an energy comparison site. They were acquired by Zoopla Property Group, which a lot of people will know and be familiar with if they've ever done a bit of house hunting. And then from that kind of tech experience was really my first foray into fintech from there. So the next organization I actually worked for was an SME finance comparison site. So this was really around the time where you had lots of new alternative lenders popping up in the fintech space, basically taking kind of the market share where the banks were kind of moving away from lending for more smaller businesses. And we were helping, I guess, businesses get still allocation of funds they needed. So if businesses needed to raise money, something like 10 to 100K, this kind of bracket, this company kind of helped. And this is where I started to do, I guess, more partnerships with banks. And that then led me to my next fintech I worked for, which was a company called Flux, London-based fintech that actually put digital receipts into banking apps. And again, a lot of the work I was doing was collaborating with banks, both kind of digital banks and then some of the more traditional banks, talking to them about how they could enhance their user experience by having digital receipts in the banking app. And then from there, I think it was Wise that approached me and spoke about this particular area of Wise, which is really kind of like a startup venture within the broader Wise company, Wise Platform, which basically is us going out, talking to online platforms and banks that are interested in actually leveraging Wise's infrastructure. So it's not just our kind of direct-to-consumer proposition. This is actually packaging up the network that we've built over a decade and actually ultimately kind of selling that to banks and other companies to use. So I found that super interesting when they approached me. I'd also kind of watched for a long time Wise's kind of rise through the fintech scene. And for anyone who was like in fintech for a number of years, kind of knew of Wise as like this really prominent, really like established name that had done an incredible job of kind of basically disrupting something entirely in international money movement. So yeah, I was super excited to join, and I was particularly kind of attracted to this idea of it being a kind of like a scale up within a kind of bigger company at this point, because Wise is now a fairly established organization. It's about, I think, 5,000 employees and obviously publicly listed, but it's still doing like a huge amount in kind of innovation and disruptive nature. So it's a really nice place to work for that reason.
Yeah, to me, Wise sounds a bit like a Western Union in a certain sense, in that the fintech version of that, they disrupted, like they did years ago, how money was transferred. Now you're doing it online.
That's right. So Wise ultimately set about to, I guess, solve the problem that we see, a broad problem, which is that international payments can be, while really complex, often quite slow, and very, very expensive at times. And that's kind of Wise's main core mission. Why it was founded was, we see this issue, and Wise set about to make a transfer service available to people that was much, much quicker when they wanted to move money and at much lower costs. So we now move around 9 billion in volume monthly, which is obviously enormous, and we grow pretty rapidly still. And people can also hold kind of Wise accounts, so they can use us to hold money as well, exchange in different currencies, and use us to transfer money. And that's kind of business customers and personal customers and maybe paying friends and family, that kind of thing. There's 80 different countries worldwide where you can send money to using Wise. So yeah, that's kind of the core of our business, is really kind of, I suppose, trying to better the current service that people are used to maybe through traditional banks for moving money.
And also, I figured Brexit might have been an issue for you guys, maybe.
I think that really there's always challenges of different macroeconomic things that come up, but actually, like, Wise as a company has done incredibly well. I think over the last sort of 12 years we've been around, so our growth has been super strong. We see kind of every quarter we sort of publish, I guess, like our progress towards what we consider like our mission pillars, and always we're kind of getting closer and closer to that goal. So one of the things that you'll see us like talk a lot about as a company is this idea of trying to make payments instant.
Yeah.
So we sort of believe that international payments should be instant in the same way that most of us are used to domestic payments being instant. And most of us are used to using, you know, one click shopping experiences and, you know, ways to order food that's super quick. We don't really see a reason why you should be waiting kind of 1 or 2 days to have an international payment land in the recipient's account. So we actually publish kind of data every quarter about how we're doing in terms of that mission. And there's been some like amazing significant process along the way. So we're at a point now where I think we allow 60% of payments on our network to be instant. So that's like 20 seconds from initiating a payment to it ending in a recipient's account, which is really difficult to do when it comes to international payments. So like really proud of that. And yeah, of course, there will always be kind of challenges of how we kind of keep moving and growing. But actually, I think we're on a really good kind of trajectory to keep achieving towards the mission.
Well, that sounds very, very laudable and very impressive, what you mentioned there, because I know that years ago, if you were with a bank and you had issues, they'd actually want the money from you right away. But if you wanted money from them, it wouldn't be instant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think most of the time that people do an international payment or use maybe a traditional bank to send an international payment, one, it often doesn't arrive instantly in the sense that we say, so kind of this under 20 seconds metric. And even if it does, quite often one of the challenges that people face is the fee structure.
Yeah.
So Wise talks a lot about this and a lot of our branding and marketing centers around this idea of transparency. We kind of campaign for it quite heavily, and something that often can, I guess, confuse customers is this idea that quite often fees are sort of hidden in the FX rate. So when you come to make a payment, not only can that be fairly slow, but it can kind of cost you more than you may have realized at first glance. And some of this is because, you know, when you go to make a payment, you're not always aware of the exact exchange rate, that kind of mid-market rate at that given moment. So it's quite easy to embed kind of fees within the exchange rate, which ultimately means that the recipient might receive less a sum of money. And quite often some services will be advertised at zero fees, for example, when in fact there is actually fees still. And it's kind of sometimes can be quite confusing. We campaign for this idea of transparency. So if you go on to Wise and actually use our app, we're on the website today, what you'll find is you can kind of put in any denomination of money, choose where you want to send that. And what we're really clear and fair about is the breakdown of fees. So we will always display mid-market exchange rate and then the exact fees that you will pay on top. So you can kind of deceive yourself before you kind of hit send on that payment, exactly what you're going to pay. And we just think that's a really cool fact that people should always be able to see that and understand that. And I think there's kind of an expectation in most services that we consume that we understand the fee structure.
Yeah.
But for some reason or another in international payments, it's always been this little bit more complex and opaque. So we're trying to push towards this world where there's more transparency. And actually one of the kind of ways we sometimes do this is we actually, as I said, at Wise Platform, our infrastructure is used by other banks. And quite often when they do use our network and our services to help their customers make payments, they will ensure that those fees are also transparent. So we start to see kind of the user experience element that Wise has done really well and the reason why customers really enjoy and use Wise. We're starting to see that kind of feed through to the rest of the market and actually hoping that it becomes a kind of market standard to not only have kind of instant payments where possible, but also have like really transparent fees wherever it is that's possible as well.
The worst thing is if you're using someone like to transfer money and you say the zero fees, and then you do that, well, then you realize after you've done it, there is a cost, because the more money you're transferring, the less chance you are you're going to get a fee because you're transferring a big. But if you're transferring maybe to a friend over in a holiday in Spain, like your daughter's in Spain, 400 or 500 euro, they're going to be a big cost in transferring 20 grand.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't make me do that.
And we see that quite often. So I think customers will sometimes be quite dismayed to see the end amount because they will often not have realized that there were fees. And some of this can be tricky to avoid because some it's actually the way that the money moves internationally and the setup that a lot of banks have for actually sending international payments, which means that there are often intermediaries in this chain to enable the money to move. And so what ends up happening is an intermediary or bank will take fees for being part of that process. So sometimes the fees then start to kind of really rack up because as you kind of have one or two banks taking some sort of cut, you do see that coming off the end recipient amount. And I guess the big difference in terms of Wise and the network that we've built is we've kind of stitched together our own network. So it's one that mainly leverages domestic payment rails, and we leverage rails that are instant wherever possible. These are usually much lower costs. So we have direct connectivity wherever possible to an instant payment rail. And that means that we kind of have more control of this network. We don't have to rely on so many intermediaries. It means that we can move money at a much cheaper cost. And you kind of see that in the pricing that's reflected on our website today. So this is kind of the big difference of how we do things.
Because if you involve with intermediaries, if there's a problem their end, it affects your end as well. And if you can control how the money flows through the process, control all that process, that for you guys, it's a win-win because you're not worrying about, one of our suppliers or people we use, they've got a problem their end. What do we do?
Exactly that. And it simplifies things. And then also it provides a much better overall experience because not only does it mean that money moves faster, but as you can imagine, a concern of a lot of customers that move money, and I'm sure we've kind of all had this position where you hit send on a certain payment and then you're sort of wondering what point that money is at because it doesn't always arrive straight away. And especially if you're waiting, you know, 2 to 3 days, it can be kind of concerning. So one of the things that we're also able to do is provide back to that customer a status of where that payment is because we can see it on our network and we understand where it is at any given point in time. It provides a lot of reassurance. So when you first go to make the payment, what we will also do is provide you with a delivery estimate. And this is really helpful, right? Because actually having something where you can say for certainty, okay, this should arrive within, you know, 3 hours, 6 hours. Yep. It helps a great deal, one, build kind of trust and confidence when that does happen. It reassures a customer as well, because one thing that a lot of banks tell us is somewhat problematic for them is that international payments can be kind of operationally quite costly. Part of the reason it can be costly is also that international payments create a great deal of customer contacts. You know, there are things that can go wrong, especially because you have lots of intermediaries in the chain. And because customers can become concerned about where their money is at any given point in time, they may be confused about the fee structure or at what point it will land the recipient's account. And so they will contact banks and they will ask kind of, you know, at what point is my money? And it's kind of hard sometimes to gather that information to help them and reassure them. It also costs the bank operationally to actually handle those customers contacting them. So when we work with banks, when they actually use Wise as their correspondent, so they use us to make payments worldwide, we reduce a lot of that operational kind of complexity and cost for them. I think we've kind of done research that says for someone to call in and kind of ask someone, a bank, you know, where's my money at any given point in time, it can cost around £50 for a bank just to handle that contact. So if you can imagine, if we can kind of lower that, on instant payments, for example, you have a 10 times lower contact rate, which, you know, it's obvious really when you think about it, it's such a better experience to have something instantly turn up in the recipient account. It kind of lowers any reason why you might call in and get worried about the payment at any point.
Well, like if I go shopping and I'm using my Apple Watch, Apple Pay, the moment I tap on and off, the only people that I'm contacting is a payment people on my phone, and the end of the POS machine that takes by that. Nothing else is impacted. It's all encrypted end to end. So there's nothing in between. And with you guys, exact same thing. Once you start the process, there's nothing in that. It's end to end. And it's all done through your network.
Yeah, and I think the customer really seem to enjoy that experience of the instant. As you said, you know, you tap something and you see it show up as a payment done. And I think we see this really from like the NPS scores. We see this from, you know, customers coming back and wanting to use the app again. If they experience instant, there's a lot more stickiness too, which is kind of why we're working so hard to, I guess, drive up the overall percentage of payments that we can deliver instantly. So wherever in the world there may be a scheme or payment rails we're able to leverage that has some sort of instant connectivity, we'll basically look to try to do so. Like, we'll slowly build out this network so that we can kind of keep delivering more and more instant payments.
Right. Now, we're going to get on now to the topic about Irish banks and why you think they offer significantly poor digital services compared to their EU counterparts.
I think that it's a kind of broad claim, because I think there's a few things going on in the Irish banking landscape and kind of the fintech landscape. So one of the kind of challenges we've seen, and it's spoken about a lot, is the lack of competition. Due to the exit of kind of KBC and Ulster from the market, just generally there is less optionality. So for a customer today, in terms of where they might want to bank, there is less choice. And where there is less choice, unfortunately, there sometimes is a decrease in kind of customer experience. And that can be both kind of price and the actual kind of user experience elements. So I think that more competition would help, I guess, kind of drive forward innovation. You know, we see when very, very strong digital banks pop up around the world, how that kind of shakes up some of the traditional banks. There's often a kind of fight or race to gain parity with some of the kind of front-end user experience elements that they offer. So I think we will start to probably see that, especially as fintech does kind of hot up, because one of the things that is worth noting is, yes, although some of these services seem to not meet customer expectation at the moment, and some of our research has shown that, there is still a great deal of interest in fintech as a space. So like when we've done research, 72% of people in Ireland will use a fintech app to some degree. So actually that is quite a large portion of Irish people that are open and willing to use a sort of digital banking service or experience. And I think the more people do try and test these experiences, the more it kind of puts pressure on some of the more legacy institutions to have to raise the level. So they'll have to provide better services, better experiences, because it starts to become an expectation, a bit like we were talking about instant payments. Once you start to get used to paying for things instantaneously from a domestic point of view and having other services in your life this way, the things change. So I think that we will slowly start to see that. And like Ireland, there's lots of reasons why the fintech landscape, you know, will kind of grow and do very well. I think they invest a lot anyway in the financial services and the tech sector. So we're starting to see kind of real change there. I think actually, like, it seems to be that Ireland actually has one of the highest levels of fintech adoption in Europe. So although you have this kind of, on the one hand, maybe the lack of competitiveness in the banking space, slowly but surely, I think we will maybe see that shift and change. There was some kind of recent research that said that just between the years of like 2017 and kind of 2019, fintech adoption doubled. So, yeah, this is quite big kind of numbers that are quite sizable and will start to make an impact on the general banking sector and finance.
And I think during COVID, it increased more so because that people were more or less at home shopping online, and the banks had to make sure their banking apps could do what it's supposed to do, which properly work and not be confusing.
Yeah, exactly that. And what is interesting, though, we also know in Ireland is that there is a stronger cash usage than in other European nations. Yeah. So sometimes that might play a certain element. You know, one of the things that Wise focuses on a lot is that we actually do understand that quite often people have a lot of trust in their kind of their primary bank. You know, it's a provider maybe they've known for decades. Perhaps their parents also banked at that institution. So we're not necessarily looking to change the way people behave. They often will want to bank with that provider. Yeah. The actual reason that we've kind of started Wise Platform as a concept, this idea where you can use Wise's services as a traditional bank, but get the benefits of our infrastructure. So you can kind of put them back into your banking infrastructure and actually provide those benefits to the customer, is exactly that reason. Because actually, we understand that not everyone will move from their primary bank, that might be a traditional bank, to a fintech app and open a Wise account. Not every single person in the world is wanting to do that. And actually, it makes a lot more sense if they can just get some of the good experiences that, we've been able to provide our direct customers, but get those experiences by using it within their own bank account. So, you know, they can just open up their traditional bank app and make a payment. Behind the scenes, Wise can help deliver that payment much more quickly. We can provide some of those nice elements I mentioned, like we can track that payment, give a delivery estimate, we can give transparent pricing. But all of that happens natively within that bank's app. And you have some examples of this already. So things like Monzo and N26 and Bunk in Europe, they actually use Wise's infrastructure. So although you go to that app and you make the payment, behind the scenes, it's Wise helping deliver it. And I think we're going to see more of that. We'll see more of this kind of collaboration between fintechs like Wise, who have sort of owned a particular niche. You know, we have 5,000 people working on one particular problem. We're providing this infrastructure, and actually banks starting to leverage and kind of work with fintechs, maybe in kind of one or two different areas to better their overall experience. Because a challenge they also have is sometimes building from scratch can be tough. You know, it costs a lot of money to do something like a transformation project. It can be into the millions. Hard to get things on the roadmap, hard to get engineering resource, and kind of Wise Platform sort of changes that. We offer something that's a really quick, easy way to integrate with us, where you can basically start to make payment instructions and we can do everything else. And I think we start to be able to kind of provide the same experience Wise.com has, but into these traditional banks. And I think that's something that's kind of really shown strong interest and growth now over the years.
Yeah, and also I feel that sometimes banks don't want to spend so much time developing a new app. And know some of you already has technology infrastructure in place. Like if you're a mobile phone company, why are you going to spend millions on mobile phone towers when somebody like Nokia or somebody else already has that in place? And you use what they have. So they're going to go and say, well, look, we're going to spend millions, whatever it costs to do this. Why do that one? Why is it already doing this? We use the infrastructure instead.
Exactly. And also, if you think about what a bank has to do, they have to do a lot. So, you know, they often have current accounts. They might have personal customers. They may have business customers. They may provide mortgages. They may provide loans and credit cards. And actually, to be an expert in every single one of those services is quite difficult. We have the luxury at Wise of having all of our focus on this one thing, which is helping kind of money move more seamlessly and at lower cost. And this is kind of where I guess the power of partnerships really comes in, is as a bank which has competing priorities across, you know, many different services they have to provide, they can start to almost pick and choose fintechs who are doing particularly well at solving one problem, and actually leverage what they've built and plug into that. And, you know, API integrations make this a lot easier than it was, you know, years ago. But they can begin to actually take some of the best parts of what others have focused on and had the ability just to fully concentrate on. And then they can do the things that they really do well. So, you know, a lot of the domestic banks, they don't necessarily need to become the best possible international bank. You know, they don't necessarily see international payments as the most important service they offer, but it's still an important service that many customers do need, but their ability to invest in that service themselves might be quite hard. So leveraging something like Wise, who has built all the network, we have the teams and we've kind of done all the trial and testing with our own customers, means they can get all the advantages and do so really quickly as well. So I think we'll see more of that, not just in the international payment space, but just generally lots more collaboration between larger banks and fintechs.
Also, because if a traditional bank suddenly wants to do things differently and all that, they see these other banks like N26 and Monzo, and they're thinking, well, how do we get to do what they're doing? And then if they realize they're all using your technology, then for them it's going to be easier. Oh, that's not going to be, I'm not as worried now, because if they're all using that technology, we can use that as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of changes the dynamic as well, because, you know, in one sense, we could also be viewed purely as a competitor, but actually we see ourselves much more now as a partner. So because our infrastructure is being used by the banks, yes, we're not just seen as this competitor. So actually there's this collaborative experience, which is far more important. Wise's ultimate mission is to, you know, make as many international payments lower cost and instant as possible. And the way we do that actually is not just through our direct customers, but it is through working with banks, because they also have millions of customers making payments every day. And we understand that. So we spend a lot of time actually listening to what banks need, talking to them about how we can make an integration simpler and easier. And actually that's where, you know, the last kind of year of work, I think, from our product teams has kind of gone to. Today, most banks initiate an international payment by sending something called a SWIFT message to their correspondent bank.
Yeah.
This is how you can start the kind of chain of information flow. Previously, Wise was only able to take a payment instruction by API, but actually more recently, what we can do is we can receive a SWIFT message, and that can help us initiate the payment as well. So we actually don't require a great deal of investment or engineering resource to start using us as a partner. We act just like any other correspondent, so in a traditional sense. So for banks now, they're not having to think about where will this go on my product roadmap, how will I be able to make the investment and get the budget sign off, especially when, you know, think about all the other pressures they have, regulatory compliance, you know, lots of things to think about. We've made this process much more simple. And so we're starting to see a lot more traction with larger banks looking to use us as their correspondent. And this is kind of the exciting, I guess, new kind of next step for Wise.
And also I'm thinking as well that banks, when they're using your product, they can then go to the customers. The services used us in the past are going to come down in price now, and it's going to be a lot simpler, a lot faster, a lot cheaper, which is a win for them.
Yeah, and I think ultimately customers will expect it. So, you know, today we see lots of customers that, you know, will have primary bank accounts with traditional providers, but may use Wise just for their international payments. And we know full well that a far better experience from that customer's point of view is to do all of that from one app, because that's just much more valuable and useful experience than having to have your financial life across several different apps. So actually, we might begin to see this consolidation of where you kind of have all your financial life live if, you know, the bigger banks get this right from a point of view of kind of working with fintechs to better their services as a whole and their offering. So ultimately, that's kind of where we want to get to.
Because I know that if you're using an app and you can see where all your money's going, and suddenly you have to go to another app, see what's going, where it's going abroad, that can be tricky and messy. If it's all in one place, they'll understand that they'll use it more and they'll trust it more because it's still within the bank that they trust.
Exactly. And we do still see that, you know, as much as we're saying that people are willing and happy to use fintechs, many of them still trust their traditional provider. I think our research showed 51% of people saying, you know, their kind of legacy bank provider is still kind of their most trusted. And that's totally understandable, which is why Wise Platform as a concept and strategy is quite powerful from that respect, because actually we understand that, yes, not every single person will put their whole financial lives in an entirely new app. People want to use the banks they understand and they know and they're familiar with. They just want a better service from them. And that's very fair. So we're helping deliver that.
Yeah, because you have a scenario where someone would say, well, my parents bank, then my grandparents bank, they're front banking there, because if they trusted them and it helped them along, why can't I do that? But they've also got to realize as well that when their trust is there, they're going to make sure that those banks are also going along with what's happening currently around the world and make sure they're using the current best practice and the current best ways to make sure that that they're not pleased to customers.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Banks have a great deal of credibility and trust. Some of them have been around for way more than decades. We're talking, you know, almost hundreds of years, and that goes a long way. Yes, there's probably some experience, things that they could improve on. And a lot of them are looking at fintechs and thinking, how do we kind of have parity with some of those features? And some of that is slightly harder for them to always get because of the legacy IT they're often grappling with. But overall, we're seeing this kind of move towards this kind of idea of, yes, if these Monzos and N26s and Wises of the world can offer these great experiences, then why can't we? And actually, this competition element is where customers really benefit. They get a better overall service from the provider because of the competition. And this is also why we're hoping that the competition increases in the Irish banking market, because lack of competition is unfortunately not great for customer experience.
Yeah, and lastly, before I finish off, let's talk about consolidation. What's one of the biggest challenges for Irish banking?
So I think it is this, I guess, kind of problem we see where there were, I think, around 1 million customers that were ultimately left to find new bank accounts, go to another provider when KBC and Ulster left the market. That's a big overhaul for someone, yeah. Right? And then that's a challenge for anyone. And more often than not, when you usually acquire new customers, it's because you've maybe released new products or features or bettered your offering. Whereas in this case, really people just needed a provider because unfortunately their current provider left the market. And so it comes back to this idea of competition driving the best for a customer.
Yeah.
We need the banks to see the reasons why they need to compete with fintech experiences. We need to have that belief that we can lower the cost overall because actually customers know they can get a cheaper payment somewhere else or a better experience on speed and whatever it might be that they really kind of feel is their priority. And we do need to see that coming through the Irish banking market. And I hope we do see more of it because, as I said, the conditions for fintech growth is clearly there. And we believe also we're well positioned to work with any bank that wants to enhance their payment experience for customers, and they can do so in a really easy way.
Yeah, I was one of those guys who had to move my banks because I was at a bank and they closed down. And my only consideration was, can you give me a good online banking experience? Because the Ulster Bank app was really, really good. And they were one of the first guys in Ireland to introduce Apple Pay, which is handy because during the COVID lockdown, when I was going shopping, I could just tap and go with my phone. I didn't have to worry about my taking my card out of my wallet, camera wallet, or carrying money around. And when I moved from New Bank to Money Bank, I'm going to make sure they've got this seamless online banking system so I know where my money's going, I can see what's happening, and it doesn't confuse me.
Yeah. And I think that's fair, and that's what most people do expect from their bank. Unfortunately, I think some of the recent research has shown that maybe that isn't everyone's experience. I think 53%, for example, said they felt today it was too difficult to open a new account. So a lot of them aren't quite satisfied with some of the experiences they get. But as I said, I think I'm hopeful and optimistic that slowly changes. Customer expectation is a wondrous thing where once customers start to demand something enough, then you do have to keep the progress and innovation going. So I'm sure it will slowly change and progress in that regard.
And as we're moving to more and more online shopping, the people are going to realise they've got to have their experience on a mobile device because that's how you're going to be paying for things. So in the future, they've got to be a mixture because they're saying, they're predicting there could be another pandemic of some sort in the future. We don't know when it's going to be. And that happens. You got to be prepared to shop more online and make sure that your bank is prepared for that.
That's right. People's habits have hugely changed over the last 10 years. COVID accelerated it. And people do so much of their life, not just their financial life, through apps, shopping experiences, food delivery, ordering taxis, these things now it's commonplace. We expect to use our phones for. Of course, we're going to have the same expectation on banking. So I do see kind of like tech as a whole as part of this movement as well. And I think the banking industry kind of looks at even some of the kind of best tech companies and things where what are the experience they're offering that's really kind of meaningful for a customer? And it comes down to what we're saying. It's that kind of transparency of understanding where an order is or at what point something will be delivered, how quickly it can be done, understanding full and fairly what the fees are. These are just conditions of, a good experience. And that's why kind of Wise has always had these as kind of mission pillars really for our organization.
Yeah, and also make sure you adapt technology. Because years ago, when mobile phones became smartphones, banks started realizing people are going to be using mobile devices to pay for things. And now we're all starting to wear wearable devices. You're going to make sure that whatever you have works with a wearable device as well.
Yeah, exactly that. I don't yet have an Apple Watch or a smart device, so I kind of need to get onto that trend. I'm maybe in the dark ages there, so maybe that'll be my next purchase.
I'm on my second watch. My Apple Watch I had, I got in 2018. Last year, it couldn't longer be supported because the OS was too old. And then suddenly I got a message telling me that my battery had to be replaced. No, I could replace a battery, but I'm thinking, why replace a battery for a phone at €115 when in the end the OS is no longer supported, so therefore it's not really, it could be security risks. And why would I go out and do online shopping and tap and go when it's not as secure anymore as it could have been? So I'm going to buy a new watch. And that watch will actually be another 6 years before it has to be replaced again. But it has to be done. And once I started tapping and going with Apple Pay, it's been brilliant. Like, I can go anywhere now and just go. Like, I was in London last year and I was going on the lot on the tube. I was out for like a mini break. And I read up before that people were getting their phone stolen. And the Oyster card isn't used anymore as much as it used to be. Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to go around and buy things, if I can tap and go with my Apple Watch to get my tickets, I have to take my phone in a pocket or my wallet in a pocket for an Oyster card. And it was great, just tap and go. And I love that.
Yeah, I think this is also where like it's like pros and cons, because I end up going out quite often now without any bank cards because of Apple Pay and Apple Wallet. And inevitably then, if you lose your phone, suddenly you kind of lost so much with it. You feel like really like, oh my God, because actually so much now of our life is through our phone and we rely on it so heavily. So definitely feel that.
That's one thing that people are going to realize. I remember years ago when before there was ATMs, like when they came in, before ATMs existed, my parents would take out money and that was eating for the night. And that was it. And they couldn't go and get more money, needs be. Like, there wasn't an ATM nearby they'd go to. And then when they're somewhere and they brought in basically and get cash back, came back in the 80s or 90s. I used to work in the UK in supermarket and Asda. And other guys would come in and say they'd buy like £5 worth of products and then get a lot of cash back. Or you go to a bar and buy a few drinks and get a cash back, please. That was where I get money. Now, nowadays, it's like when you got your smart device, it's another way, version of doing that. And you're going to be lost without that.
Yeah, and that's the other expectation of customers, right, is this like 24/7 availability of services that, you know, you have expectation now that you won't be kind of caught short for any reason, something's closed, you can order things around the clock nowadays, like you can do your banking around the clock. And I think this is the changing world we're in, that people don't expect that kind of delay or waiting, or I have to go to even a bank branch to do everything I wanted to do. You should be able to do all of it really through your mobile app.
Yeah, because the thing is, for them, they're thinking, my money is in your bank and actually I will access it whenever I want. You're storing it for me in a place and you're charging me money for storing it at a time. We might have a bank, might have a every quarter, they might have some monthly bank fees, whatever. Like every time you draw money, they charge you a bit of money. But I'm paying you for that privilege. I should be able to access it when I want it, not when you say I want it.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think they trust banks, but at the same time, they have their frustrations with maybe how they sometimes operate. I think people would love in Ireland to see better digital services as a whole. And, you know, fingers crossed, we will begin to see that as more and more fintechs also move into the space, for sure.
And that, Noah, so thanks for a great conversation, Roisin, and have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.